Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Do you sometimes feel helpless in responding to dire situations which are very far away from you? Perhaps, like me, your children and grandchildren live thousands of miles away from you, and when they have a need, you very much wish you could immediately be there to help, right? Have you discovered the privilege and power of praying for a need far away, and then hearing that God reached to that faraway need with his divine help? Today, let's watch that happen as we continue following Jesus in God's grand narrative story. Once again, this story is found only in John chapter 4, and it seems to follow chronologically the amazing things we witnessed yesterday when Jewish Jesus intentionally went to Sychar, a Samaritan town, and there identified himself as Messiah to a Samaritan woman with whom he had a conversation as she was drawing up her water at the town public well. The people of Sychar invited Jesus to stay the night, and he actually spent 2 days in that Samaritan town, which was dramatically changed by Jesus' presence and God's work in many lives when they believed Jesus truly was the God-sent Messiah. John tells us Jesus continued his journey north to his home area, the Galilee region. Jesus went again to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine at a wedding not long before. A certain royal official heard Jesus was in town and came to Jesus with a desperate personal request. His son was very sick at home in Capernaum, more than 20 miles away. Would Jesus please come with him to Capernaum and see if Jesus could help them? Who this man was, or what is meant by a royal official, we don't exactly know. But do you see the contrast between this royal official and the ashamed Samaritan woman Jesus helped at the Sychar well only a few days before? In all these early months of Jesus' public ministry, one thing seems clear to me. Jesus wanted all types of people to know that God loved them, and the angelic message on that Christmas night was absolutely true. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. A Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2. There is no favoritism or prejudice with God. There is no problem too big for God to solve. All people really are created equally valuable in God's sight. Do we embrace that truth today, my friends? If we believe it, how do you and I demonstrate it? What response from Jesus would you expect for this desperate dad? John reports this. Jesus said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." John chapter 4. I don't hear Jesus criticizing this desperate dad, but rather stating the obvious. Yes, it would require multiple miracles of various kinds to convince the people that this very ordinary-looking man, Jesus, was who he claimed to be, the Son of God incarnate. I think I would raise my hand in that moment to say, "Yes, Jesus, you're right. I need proof before I'm willing to believe, and yes, miracles would be very good proof of your identity." What about you, my friends? Do you need proof that this man, Jesus, who lived in Israel 2,000 years ago, was then and is now God the Son? What proof are you looking for these early days of 2026? John tells us the royal official was not interested in jibber-jabber. He wanted action. He wanted Jesus to come with him right now and as quickly as possible get to Capernaum and help his dying son. Jesus understood, of course, but it was time for Jesus to teach this dad and all who were present that God the Son is not bound by time or geography. Jesus said to this desperate dad, "Go home, your son will live." I love the next line, which tells us the royal official immediately turned and started down the road to Capernaum as fast as he could go. John reports that on his way, this official was met by his servants coming to find him with news that his son was suddenly feeling fine. Shocked, the official asked for specific details. Exactly when did his son get well? The servants were very specific, and when the official paused to calculate, John reports, the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." John chapter 4. Now look at this royal official standing in the middle of the road talking with his servants. How do you imagine he's responding to their amazing news? What did it mean to this relieved dad? John concludes this event with these words, "So he and his whole household believed." It's only a brief statement, but oh my, such powerful implications. What did they believe? Do you see the pattern developing with Jesus over these past few days? First, a crippled man healed by Jesus after being lowered by friends through the roof of a house in Capernaum, Mark chapter 2. Then a member of the Jerusalem ruling council named Nicodemus, given by Jesus the clear message of how to enter the kingdom of God, John chapter 3. Then a Samaritan woman, having been married 5 times already, told by Jesus about the living water he can give her, John chapter 4. And now, a royal official whose son is healed by Jesus from many miles away, John chapter 4. What is Jesus trying to show us, my friends, about the unlimited love, the problem-solving power, and the kindness, the grace of God, which Jesus has brought to every type of person in our human race? It begs these questions, I think. Why do you and I, or anyone, resist God's reach to us? Why do we insist on working our way to heaven rather than trusting God's path through Jesus alone? Why do we think some people or some terrible situations are beyond the rescue reach or understanding of God?